Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 54. Chapter 54. I want you to start reading verse 1, and I'll probably, I might get down in chapter 55, I don't know, but just let's see what God's word says and what the Lord is saying to David and to the people back then. And I think it's not just back then. What he said and what he was telling the people back then, he's telling the people the same thing today. Now, me and my wife, we was discussing something last night and everything, and she was telling me that she's reading over in the book of 2 Kings and everything. And she was just telling me about, she said, you know, back then, they had a bunch of killings. And said, and the men, they had all kinds of wives. I said, yeah, some of them had 30, 40, and 50, 60 wives and everything. They called concubines and all that. And I said, you know, I don't know. That's maybe where a whole lot of people are getting this stuff from today, that, you know, they can get married today and end up having a spat or something like that, and then go on and get a divorce and everything, and then go out here and remarry and marry somebody else. Well, the way I look at it is, in God's eyes, you ain't nothing but just a... You just added another concubine to your life is all you done. Because man gave out that divorce. God didn't give out that divorce. And which God does, he does give out the divorce, but it's real rarely he gives it out. And it has to be something major. Has to be something major. But here in the book of Psalms, we'll see right here in verse 1, it says, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. He's saying right here, save me, O God, by thy name. He's asking God the Father to save him, and by his name, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And judge me by thy strength. Not by my strength, or not by your strength, but he says, judge me by thy strength. What he's saying right here says, the psalmist right here is saying that David is speaking about right here. He's speaking to Saul and David, and he's speaking about David and Saul and some of the others, Ziphim and Nigamoth and Machala and all these individuals. But they're crying out to God, and that's what we need to do. We need to cry out to God, not just for our salvation, but once we're saved, we still need to cry for God for help and what we need to do for him. In the places that we need to go to, we need to cry out to God and ask God to help us. And he's saying right here, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. What God is saying right here, he's telling the psalmist David, he says,
You have to come to me for salvation. You cannot go to nobody else. You cannot go to man. But you have to come to me. And you have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he says, now after you're saved, I'm going to judge you. And you know, I know you've heard in the past, and preachers talk about it.
Reason they don't come no more. They think I was up here preaching about them. I was judging them. I'm not judging nobody. I don't have the right to judge anybody. This word right here, what does the judging?
Right here says, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. David is asking for salvation. David is asking, save me, O God. Now, by your name only, you're going to judge me. And when you judge me, you're going to judge me by the strength that you have. Not by the strength that I have. Because, see, I don't have the strength. The only reason I can even stand tonight is by the help of God. It's the only way I can stand. That's the only way that I can go about. That's the only reason I can even speak tonight.
Is by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done. So I'm not judging nobody. I don't judge people. But God does the judging. And they say, well, preacher, well, what did you just say up there? You judging me? You up there said, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. If you do this and you do that and everything, and you end up going, you're going to die and go to hell or something like that. I'm not judging. Hey, that's what's in the book. That's what's in the book. If you don't want to hear what's in the book, then don't come. The only thing I can say is, but that's what you get out of the book. And it says in verse 2, it says, hear my prayer. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to thy word of my mouth. He's asking the Lord right here, God, Father, I just want you to hear me. I want you to hear my prayer, what I've got on my heart. Can I have your ear today? Say, Father, can I have your ear just for a little while? Because I got some things I want to talk to you about. And I want your, basically, he says the same thing to us. He says, I want your undivided attention. He says the same thing to us. He wants our undivided attention to where we can listen to him with a clear mind, a clear heart. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Saying right here, said, you know, there are individuals out here, they don't love me. They don't care anything about me. They don't even care anything about you. Only thing they care anything about is themselves. Themselves and what all they can gather and what they can get. And that where the oppressors seek after my soul. I'm speaking about the individuals I hear that don't go to church. The individuals that I hear that's doing the devil's work. What they're trying to do, they're trying to get at our soul. They're trying to get at our inward part of each one of us. Because, see, the inward man, if you're saved, the inward man is saved. The outward man is not saved. The outward man is lost. And always will be lost until we drop that body. And when we drop that body, when the Lord Jesus Christ, he just unzips us and we just lay the flesh off. But yes, we have a battle each day. David, he had the same battle. We know where Cain and Saul, they also had the same battle. Abraham had the same battle. They had the same battle today. They had the battle between the inward man and the flesh. The spiritual man and the fleshly man. We need to remember that when we do go out and when we talk to people, or like it says over in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it speaks about the armor of God. We need to be dressed out. We need to be in the full armor of God. Because when we go out and when we visit somebody, we're not visiting them because maybe they may be saved, but we are visiting them to try to get them under the gospel, whether they're saved or lost. Because you take a saved individual, if they're out of church today, you can see it in the eyes. You can see it in the walk. You can see it in their expression and knowing that they are completely miserable and they're heartbroken. But they cannot pinpoint exactly what they're miserable over and what they're heartbroken over. They can't pinpoint it. Why? Because they have not been in church all that long. Yes, they come. They may come this Sunday, and they may come in the doors here. And then when I give the invitation and everything, and then they may come down, and they may give their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. And they may come back Sunday night. They may come back Wednesday night. And they may come back next Sunday and Sunday night and next Wednesday night. They may come for a solid month. And then all of a sudden, they'll miss a Wednesday night. Then the next week, they'll come. And they'll come Sunday morning, Sunday night. And they'll come Wednesday night. Then the next week or the next couple of weeks, they may miss a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. We need to be consistent in serving God because he has been consistent to us. Because he did not say in his word, he says, today I'm going to have to leave you for a while. And you will have to be by yourself. You're going to have to defend for yourself today because I got other things I have to do. No, he don't do that. He says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. He said, I will never leave you. I'm not going to leave you alone. And I'm not going to leave you by yourself to defend for your own self because you cannot fight the devil. You cannot fight the devil and his imps and warriors and everything. You can't fight them because they're stronger than you are. You're strong, and you may be a little strong in your faith and maybe as a Christian. But see, Satan, the one we call Satan, the one we call the devil, See, he just didn't come on the scene all of a sudden. He's been on the scene all the way from the very first, in the beginning of time. He was right there with God. He seen what God was doing. He seen where God could create this mass universe. And he could take it and he could create something out of it for man. Where a man can be able to use. Where a man can be able to benefit from. Lucifer was right there with him. He was right there when he went out and when he established the oceans and the seas and all the different type of animals, the sea creatures and everything, and even all of that. He was right there with him. All of that. But then he got to the point, he said, well, you know, I shall believe that maybe I can do a little something. I've learned a whole lot. You know, I've been watching God. I've been watching God and what God is doing and how he's going about doing these things. He says, you know, I just believe that God just give me a chance, I could do some of it. But he knew God won't give him a chance. Just like God's not going to give us a chance to go out here and to touch somebody. Where we can go out there and touch them and they can be healed. Or where they can be saved. God has to do it. God does it all. He is the divine being. He's the divine healer. He placed these organs in the place that they are placed at in our bodies. Some of them. When the individual is born, the organs may not be arranged in the right way. But you know what? I don't think that's no fault of no child. I really don't. I don't think that's a fault of a child. But I believe that the Lord is using that child to get in touch with somebody else that doesn't know him. It could be the immediate family. It could be the brothers or sisters. It could be the offspring. It could be someone. It could maybe a friend of the family that's lost. But God does not cause the sickness upon the people. You know who causes sickness upon the people? We do. And I know you probably heard probably maybe Brother Poovey speak about this and talk about he can remember where in the past time that where a family and everything they'd be in church, and then all of a sudden, one of the children would get out of church. They'd just get out of church, and they would just go their own way. They would get hooked on drugs. They would get hooked on alcohol, get hooked on prostitution, and all of them things. They're just so deep in sin, they don't even know how to even come out of it. And then you see them, and every time you see them, it seems like that they age that much more. I had a pastor tell me one time that he knew of a pastor where his daughter used to be in church. She sang in church. She was in the choir. But she got caught up with the wrong people. Caught up with the wrong crowd. And it got to them. Why? Because, see, they was having fun. They was having laughter. They was talking about having fun and having a good time. She wanted to have a little good time too. But she had no idea what the cost would be. It was a while before she got hooked on drugs. It was a while before she got hooked on alcohol. It was a while before she got hooked on this and that and everything. And here she was, 19 years old, and then got hooked on all the sin that's out here in the world. Just quit on God. Didn't come back to church. Wouldn't even go by and see her daddy or her mama or her sisters. And her daddy and her mama would always come into church on Sunday morning. And before he even got to preaching, and before they even got to Sunday school started, they said the pastor and his wife and his family would be right at the altar. And they would be weeping. And they would be crying out to God. They said that you could actually hear them cry out to God and say, God, have mercy on my daughter. Have mercy on my sister. Have mercy on her. Bring her back. You're the only one that can bring her back. She won't listen to me. She won't listen to nobody else. But you can get a hold to her in such a way that she knows that she has to listen. And this pastor said that the same pastor he was talking about said he saw him again 4 or 5 years later. This other pastor, he done went into evangelism, being an evangelist, going all over the country. And everywhere he went, he'd ask the church, please, please, pray for my daughter. Pray for my daughter that God would get a hold of her heart. Don't even pray for me. You don't even have to pray for my wife and my other children, because we're in church. We're serving you. But we're begging you to say, to touch her heart, to save her soul, to bring her back to where she knows she needs to be. He said a year later, he got this evangelist to come and hold a week's revival. He come and he held the revival that week. And it was in the town that where his daughter was shacking up with somebody. And she hadn't seen her mama or her daddy or her sister in probably 8, maybe 10 years. But she says, I just like to go see them. Just let them know that I'm okay. They said when she walked in, they could not believe it. That was his same daughter. That the last time he seen was 19 years old. A beautiful young lady. But now he was looking on somebody that looked 50 and 60 years old. And his daughter was less than 30 years. She's aged that much. She had wrinkles in her face. She had bags under her eyes. There was all blacked and everything. They went up to her after church and they spoke to her and they hugged her and they said that we miss you. We'd just love to see you come back home. She says, Daddy, I can't. I can't come back home. I have too much against me right now. Had three children out of wedlock. Still on drugs, still on alcohol. She didn't know what to do. But this pastor and his wife and his family, they were so heartbroken. And I can just imagine maybe a little bit of how they may have felt. Can you imagine maybe one of your children in that situation? I can't. I could not even imagine my daughter getting in a situation like that. But you know, it's not but one step, a one heartbeat away from that. Because see, the devil knows how he can take God's word. And the devil can quote it verbatim. He can quote it. He can quote it to the point where he can put the period in. He's got the comma. He's got the question mark. He's got the colon. He's got everything in it, in the sentence that he quotes. And you would think it's of God. Well, see, God said in his word, you must try the Spirit. You must try the Spirit. And see what spirit you're serving. If you're serving the Spirit of God, or if you're serving the spirit of the devil. I think David probably, I'm not going to say probably, no doubt David went through the same situation. Because you know the story about David. How he was supposed to go to the front of the line and fighting the battle. But what did he do? Send somebody else. Why? Because he was a coward at the time. That's what we do. When we send somebody else to do the work that God has asked us to do. Don't you think that maybe God looks at us the same way? God said, well, you know, Donnie, you know, I've spoken to you. I've given you the individual. I know the name. You know where they live at. You even got on the computer and find out exactly the address that they live at. And you've got the phone number. And you even come up with the map where you don't have to worry about maybe going down the wrong street. You can go be led right straight to their house, to the front door. But you won't go. You want to send somebody. You want to send somebody else. Says Donnie, what would happen You say that you've been called to preach. You say that God has burdened you down about pastoring. And you pray to God for a pastor's heart. But yet, some things you won't do for me now. Says, what would you do if I just closed the door on you? If I closed the church door on you, where you would never get to go preach, and I'd close the nursing homes out for you. I would close all the doors where you never go and be able to explain my word anymore. You're ashamed of me. I mean, that's what you're saying. You're saying, really, you're ashamed of me. And no doubt, I'm ashamed of you and all what I've done for you and all the blessings that I've brought to your life and allowing your son to die on Calvary. And you treat me and my son and the comfort the way you treat us. You know, I done told you before, I love you. I told you, I said, I'll never leave you or I'll never forsake you. I'll never go against my word. I always have a promise for you. But you haven't done anything for me lately. Why? Are you ashamed of me? Are you embarrassed about what people would say? If you are, then I believe I need to do the same thing. I'm ashamed of you. I'm still not going to let the devil kill you. But I am ashamed of you because you want to recognize where you get your strength, where you get your health, where you get anything from. You don't care. You've tried using me all these years. Well, Donnie, it's over. It's over. You can't use me any longer. He can do that. I know he can do that. And not only can he do that, he can also say, Donnie, since you've been ashamed of me,
you don't want to share my word with nobody. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to bring you on home. You don't need to stay in there any longer and ruin my name because you're ruining your own testimony. And when you do that, you're ruining my name because you don't ever speak to anybody about salvation. You don't ever tell anybody to love them anymore. So I'm going to bring you home. I get it. I know your wife, she's going to miss you. I know your daughter's going to miss you. I even know the church is going to miss you. But see, with all of that, you have never said anything to me at all about I miss you. See, that's what can happen if we allow it to happen.
We can never be ashamed of what God has done for us.
You know, even really right now. I could leave here tonight and I could go home. And when I go home tonight, I could be approached with the fire marshal. I can be approached with 5 or 6 fire trucks. I can be faced with the life-saving crew. I can be faced with the police being in my home. But with all that said and done, if that was all taken away from me, if it all was taken away from me and I went home and I saw it right there, flat on the ground, nothing but ashes, what would I do? What would I do? Would I blame God? That's what people do. When something like it happens, they blame God. They don't know blame themselves. But we have to take a whole lot of blame. Well, should that cause me to be embarrassed about me coming to church? Coming to your home or some home you ask me to go to visit and ask the individual, do you know where you will go when you take your last breath? You have one of the choices. Do you know where you go? Listen, can I go to heaven? Because God don't say nothing about that either. I know we don't. We sit at home and say, hey, we go. We don't need to be embarrassed. We don't need to be embarrassed no longer. We don't need to be embarrassed. Faith Baptist Church does not need to be embarrassed. If people out here running Faith Baptist Church down, let them run it down. It don't make good. The only thing I can say is that we're doing something right. The only thing I can say is we're doing something right. Because that's the only time the devil is going to attack you. That's the only time the devil is going to be on your back. That's the only time the devil is going to be on my back. It's when I'm doing something for the Lord. Because see, if I ain't doing anything for my Lord, the devil got off my back. It was kind of easy to get a hold of Donnie. You know, and Bill, I had to do. Bill had a back problems and pain. It'd be real easy to get him. See, he knows exactly which button to push. But when he pushes that button, we need to claim the blood. He will flee. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. Father, we thank you for thy precious word. And Lord, my prayer is, God, that you will always be in the center of my life. And Father, that I will never be ashamed of you. I will never be ashamed of your word. And I will not ever be embarrassed about sharing your word with somebody else. Father, we don't have much time left. I know that. just saying, Lord, it may be another 35, maybe another 50 years. It could be another 100 or 200 years. But everything that what your word says is going to come to pass. Except for the catching away. That's the only thing right now that's on the agenda. Is you calling your children home. And Father, you want each one of your children today to be able to curse somebody that they've spoken to. That they can carry someone with them to heaven. Father, we do thank you. Lord Jesus, go with us the remainder of this week. And Father, touch our minds and touch our hearts as we go out. Help us that we may share the word. And Father, as we share the word to people this weekend, from this point forward, Lord, that your word will stick upon the individual's heart. Father, to the point that where they can't get no sleep, they can't get no rest, and until they say yes to you, that they will be here, that they're going to come to church, and yes, that they can get saved right there. Yes, they can get saved right there in our own home. They don't have to be in church to get saved. They don't have to be in the preaching meeting, but the only thing that they need to do is hear the preaching of your word. And that's the Spirit of God, the Comforter. The Comforter will preach thy word unto the individual. Father, help us, Lord, that we may be faithful to you. And as we're faithful to you, Father, that you can grant a blessing upon Faith Baptist Church. Father, it's been a while since I even heard of somebody getting saved. It's been a while since I even seen anybody getting saved, Father. It's been a while since I've seen any of your children right today, the ones that used to be dedicated to you. Father, they're not dedicated to you any longer. Father, we know that the Holy Ghost can do what is impossible. Well, we can't do nothing without thy help. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you will allow us to be able to speak to you in a way this week. Father, that Sunday, the God, that we can have a visitor to come in, or somebody that hasn't never been to the church before, or maybe somebody that, yes, they used to come, but they just quit. Father, would you please, is my prayer tonight. Allow the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, speak to that individual. And I believe if the Holy Spirit can get a hold of the heart with the right words that only He can give, that yes, we can look forward to seeing someone new this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.